From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. The graduating class of 2012 caught a break. Their years of college were the country's years of economic trial. But you can't stay on campus forever. It's cap and gown time. And it's a funny break that the 2012ers caught. Shelter from the storm, yes, but now a lot of wreckage in their path. It's better on the job front, the pros say, but it's no cakewalk. This hour on Point, we're talking jobs with the class of 2012. They're graduating all over out there on Sunday. Screenwriter Aaron Sorkin delivered the commencement address at Syracuse University. Here's the send-off.
Today you graduate, and my friends, you ain't seen nothing yet. Thank you and congratulations. Thank you very much.
And off they go. You can join the conversation right here, graduating seniors. What was that you last weekend graduating? What are your plans? Are you all set for a job? Half set? Still looking? What do you see? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. We've got the class of 2012 with us today from across the country. Nadja Edwards joins me from Urbana, Illinois. She graduated on Sunday from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign with a bachelor's degree in aerospace engineering. She's got a job. Nadja Edwards, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Great to have you here. Tia Johnson is with us from Augusta, Georgia. She graduated on Saturday from Augusta State University, majored in communications. She's still looking. Tia Johnson, congratulations on that degree. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Hi, Tom.
Hi. And Evan Merkelson joins us from Poughkeepsie, New York. He graduates Saturday from Marist College, a business major. He's got a job, but maybe not his dream yet. Evan Merkelson, welcome.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me. I'm a big fan.
Great to have you here, Evan. And one more, not a 2012er, maybe much earlier than that, Carl Van Horn is with us. He's director of the Center for Workforce Development at Rutgers University, co-author of a new report out this month called Chasing the American Dream, Recent College Graduates and the Great Recession. Carl Van Horn, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. It was about 40 years ago for
yeah,
me. Thank you.
I thought it might be. Carl, stand by. We want to hear from you, but let's hear from the grads first. And Nadja, let me come right to you. Aerospace degree, and you've got a job where, Nadja?
I'm going to be working for Boeing starting at the end of the summer.
Wow. Sounds like you're all set. Is it in aerospace engineering? Is it in,
yes.
You know, you'll be doing what you studied?
Yes.
Pretty fantastic. Where will you be based?
I'll be out in Seattle.
Do you know what you're going to work on exactly, Nadja, at this point?
I'm actually going to be working for the tanker program, so I do know exactly what I'm going to do.
Tanker. Is this the controversial military tanker that's going to for refueling that there was so much buzz about a couple of years ago?
Possibly. I don't know all the details, but I was told tanker program. So.
Wow. So you're 23 years old. You're coming right out of college. Took 5 years. Engineering wasn't a breeze to do, but you've got a job all set with Boeing. When did you know you had the job, Nadja?
Well, I had the interview towards the end of May, and I think right around April 10th, I got a call that was confirmation that I had actually gotten the job. So,
was it high fives all around with your roommates, family, etc.?
I was actually in class when I got the call, so no high fives right away, but phone calls later and lots of congratulations. So,
an aerospace engineer just graduating, and she's got a job at Boeing, no less, in Seattle, but it's not necessarily easy out there. Evan Merkelson, let me come to you. You've got a job, I know, but I'm not hearing as many high fives, Evan.
I mean, I'm excited for it, but it's not really exactly what I wanted to do.
You studied business administration and human resources, so what's the job?
I'm working for a retail store. I'm going to be a store manager.
Is it like a little retail store, a big one, a national chain? What?
It's nationally known. It's with the top five biggest ones.
So a great big chain, and you're going to manage one of their stores or help manage it? What's the what exactly?
First, I'm going to begin as an understudy, and I'm going to study, and eventually the goal is to become a store manager.
So, you got a job. When does it start?
It starts soon after college, June 6th.
But you're not completely psyched about it. Why not, Evan?
It's just not exactly what I want to do. I'd rather be an executive recruiter, something more in the HR area field that I've been studying for the past 4 years. And I tried to look for other jobs. That's why I got the offer. I got it back in August. I accepted in September, so I knew I was going to be doing this for a while. But I've been looking for other opportunities out there, but there hasn't really been any.
How do your classmates look at you? You've got a job. It's not exactly what you want. Do they say, you know, lucky guy, you got the job, or sorry, Evan, hang in there, you'll get what you want sometime?
No, absolutely. They're all very impressed. They all think that it's a great opportunity for me. I just don't really see it like that.
22 years old, got a job, which I guess a lot of grads in recent years would be very happy for, but not exactly your dream yet. Tia Johnson, 29 years old, and Tia's had a big stint in the military in between here, and that is by no means uncommon these days. Tia, communications major, what are you aiming for?
Right now, I'm just kind of looking for, you know, anything I can do, maybe in office management or anything that I can just use my skills for. I'm also looking at medicine because that's my background.
Background from the military. You were a medic.
Yes.
In the U.S. Air Force Medical Service. Six years there, 2 years on reserve. Let's look at both of these. First, the communications major. How's that working for you? Are people saying, yeah, she can get our message across. Come on, Tia.
Well, I've gotten quite a lot of interviews, so I'm not exactly sure, you know, how that's going over yet because people aren't hiring until June. But I know that, you know, a lot of people want me to do things other than what I do.
Are you nervous? I mean, you graduated on Saturday. You don't have that job in hand. How's it feel? Do you feel confident that something's going to come along in a good timely fashion here or not?
I feel that, you know, whatever comes will probably be good, but I'm a little bit nervous, but, you know, I kind of just take things as they come.
How does the military experience seem to play when you're out in the job market? Is it working for you, against you, neutral? How's it work?
I would say it's pretty neutral. I've actually been looking for, you know, a good job since I left the military, you know, which was 4 years ago, active duty, 2 years ago, reserve. And when I got here, it actually wasn't too helpful. I think a lot of people kind of, while they, you know, appreciate what you've done in the military, I think they kind of look down on it and they think that maybe you joined because you weren't able to go to college or, you know, there's something lacking there when it was actually just a choice that I made.
Are you getting a chip on your shoulder about that? Are you still handling it all right? You still feeling okay about it?
I still feel okay. I stay positive about it. I know what I've done and what I've accomplished, and I'm happy for the service that I provided.
No, I'm right there with you. And what about when you think about, here's Nadja, aerospace engineer. She's going off to work at Boeing. Are you slapping your forehead and saying, I should have been an aerospace engineer?
No, I don't have the capacity to be an aerospace engineer. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, boy. Okay. Carl Van Horn, you hear the cross-section that we've got here today, and I'm sure we'll hear from more in this hour. What does it sound like, Carl? Is this a representative kind of cross-section of the class of 2012? What are they looking at?
Yes, it is. And first of all, congratulations to the three graduates. It's quite an accomplishment to get through an education anytime. So congratulations and good luck. It's very typical. What we did a national survey of recent college graduates from 2006 to 2011. And first of all, we found that only about half of them had a full-time job, but at the time we interviewed them, which was just a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And only 2 in 10 told us that they felt they were firmly on a career path. So Nadja sounds like she's firmly on a career path, you know, coming directly into a program that is going to use her skills to the maximum,
right,
in a very prominent firm. Evan's experience is probably more typical in that he has a job, but it's not exactly what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Tia is having some time to get into the labor market, which is an experience that people have all the time, but especially in a weak labor market that we've had for the last several years.
And it's been just about as weak as can be. You know, we've seen conflicting headlines about the job market now and what's out there. I mean, I'm looking at an AP story here, Carl. They're looking like, for example, Florida State University at Tallahassee. Job listings there, almost 1,400 last spring. This spring, almost 2,300, but that's still down from 5,000 that they would have before the recession. And here's Arizona State Tempe campus, almost 1,700 companies attending job fairs there. That's up from 1,400 2 years ago, but still down from 2,000 before the recession. How do you judge the health of what's going on, Carl?
Well, as you're as what you said just indicated, it's getting better, but it's not the good times rolling yet the way perhaps we experienced it at the end of the 20th century in the late 90s, when just about everybody graduating out of college had a job when they finished, or nearly so, and many were paid bonuses to take jobs. And you know, there was even one company that offered a free BMW to students. So that's those days are gone, maybe not forever, but they're certainly not around now. The economy is improving, but it's still a struggle. And I think perhaps most importantly, we found that the students telling us, graduates, said 4 in 10 were working in jobs that didn't require a college degree. So they weren't quite into what we call the college job market yet. Mm-hmm. They were in positions that perhaps before would have been occupied by people with an associate's degree or even a high school degree. And so it's going to take them a while to get into that college labor market where they'll earn more money.
Evan Merkelson, graduation day for you is coming up this weekend. During these 4 years, did you and your classmates say, thank heavens we're in college and not out there in that cold, cruel, unemployed world?
My sister, she graduated when I was a freshman. I knew how tough it was for her to find a job. So as the 4 years went on, we saw that the job market was definitely getting better as the time went on. But still, like we've been discussing, still not what it once was.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about caps and gowns and a tough economy, looking at jobs, strategies, and how the world looks to the class of 2012. We've got three brand new minted or soon-to-be-minted graduates with us. Tia Johnson from Augusta State University joins us from Georgia. Evan Merkelson, 22, graduates this Saturday from Marist College, joins us from Poughkeepsie, New York. And Nadja Edwards is here, 23, graduating in aerospace engineering, graduated last weekend from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Job all lined up with the aerospace giant Boeing. Evan, Tia, Nadja, please stand by. Carl Horn is with us as well from the Center for Workforce Development at Rutgers University, and we've got a lot of people calling in. Let's bring them. Pedro's calling. Hi, Pedro. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
What's your story?
Well, I graduated on May 4th from Northeastern University, class of 2012.
Congratulations.
Five-year program. Not four, but 5 years.
Okay.
And I did find a job, and I was one of the lucky ones to find one in November, so almost 6 months before I graduated.
What's your field? What's your field? Your major, Pedro?
Electrical and computer engineering.
Great, and you had it early on, so you feel like you chose the right major, like the economy came around for you?
Well, I had three, Northeastern has a co-op program, so
sure.
This was my third one. It was my last company, and I did well, and I liked the company, and they offered me a job, and it was a good experience because I took my first two as, all software or all hardware, and this was during the big economy drop in 2008 with my first internship.
Right.
When I was working, all the higher-ups, people that had been there for a while, kept getting laid off. Companies kept getting bought. Companies just kept going down. So,
right.
I was cheap labor as a co-op, so I was in that experience. So one of the biggest things I wanted to do before I graduated was land a job, because I know it would be tough searching for one.
Sure.
So I interviewed a bunch of places, and my last internship, it was good, and it was a lot of room for growth, and that was the main reason I picked the field, and my manager liked me a lot and gave me an offer.
So you liked the company, and they liked you. It's in your field. It sounds like things lined up just right for you, Pedro.
I guess I'm one of the lucky ones. In my field, though, at Northeastern, a bunch of engineers did find jobs. I don't know if they found a job that they liked, but a bunch of them did. But other majors that I know, other friends in business administration, political science, if part of them find a job in their field.
Yeah.
So a lot of them either go to grad school, get their master's, or they have a better chance of getting a better job. Or I forgot his name's example. So I know a couple of them that, took retail jobs that they worked during, school and became supervisors, and they're becoming managers too. They took that route. In the meantime, just to have money saved up, payback loan, before going back to grad school or something.
Yeah, 95% of grads now coming out with loans. Pedro, sounds like things have worked out well for you, and congratulations on that. I mean, you mentioned majors, and I'm looking here again. This is AP reporting, but they're saying grads in zoology, anthropology, philosophy, art history, humanities
having more trouble, those with nursing, teaching, accounting, computer science, doing a little better, education, healthcare. Architecture still trouble because there's not that much construction industry still in trouble. Carl Van Horn, how much difference does it make today? What major, what field of study a student has been in?
Well, there's no question that there are some majors that are in greater demand and have been for some period of time. But it's hard to predict the labor market when you enter college. And so what students need to do is take the courses and the approach that really matters the most to them and understand that not everybody is going to be an engineer. In some cases, those skills that you need to be an engineer are ones that you have to acquire when beginning in high school, and some people just don't do that.
Right.
On the other hand, I think it is important to know that employers are often not all that concerned about what the major is. It depends on what their line of business is. And oftentimes what they're interested in is a person who has a broad set of skills in communication and problem solving, critical thinking, and so on, which you can learn in any major in college. And then if you've done well and you've shown that you have a good attitude, they'll hire you and train you for the job, which sounds somewhat like what Evan is doing. So it isn't just majors. Majors do matter. But I think what's more important is acquiring skills. And I think just one other point, the caller, Pedro, said a very important point. Having an internship or a cooperative education experience is extremely valuable. We found in our survey that those who had an internship were not only more likely to get a job right after college, but they all also earn considerably more money because what they proved to the employer was they knew how to be successful in the labor market already, and employers got to know them, and they said, hey, this young man or young woman would make a good employee.
Nadja Edwards in Illinois, did you do internships in engineering while you were – you took 5 years to go through. Did you do some in that time?
I actually didn't have any internships, but I had a lot of research experience. I spent – every summer after each spring semester doing research on campus. So, I mean, research experience and internships kind of correlate, but definitely some type of experience.
So what do you think worked for you there? University of Illinois has a pretty darn good reputation in engineering. Was that helpful for you?
I definitely think it works in my advantage just because the school is so well known for engineering. So they know that when you come out of the program, you're going to have those necessary skills and tools that employers are looking for. So, I mean, I definitely think it was an advantage.
Let's go to Bridget in Stowe, Vermont. Bridget, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What's your story?
Well, my boyfriend Matt and I just graduated from St. Michael's College in Colchester.
Congratulations.
Vermont.
Yeah, great.
I'm a biology major. He's a history major. And we're about to strike out to Alaska.
What's the biology action up there, or the history action? What's the biology opportunity in Alaska, Bridget, or the history opportunity?
Well, actually, we're not going to be looking for a job in our majors. I already lined up a job at a lumberjack show. And he will be looking for outdoor jobs. We just decided that it's a good time to travel, and we don't have any obligations to settle down right now. So we're just going to have a little fun there and look for college field jobs while we're in Alaska.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Who's paying for gas and rent and food as you do that, Bridget?
Well, we both have a little bit of money saved up from the job that we had in college, and as well as our graduation presents. So we're going to be paying for gas and food and rent with that money. And thankfully, we're flying to Alaska in a few days, so we won't have to pay for gas anymore because we're going to get bikes and bike around.
Bridget, we've got it. Off to a lumberjack show. Maybe put the biology career on the side for a minute and see the world a little right now. Good for you that you can do that. I mean, Evan Merkelson, what about you and your classmates? And, you know, the hammer here, how much flexibility do people seem to have? Do they have to get a job right away? When do the loan bills start coming to due? Are people headed home to mom and dad's house to have some place to be, Evan?
Well, the loans, they start, you just start paying them 6 months after college, for at least for my school. So those are definitely always in people's backs of their heads. But it's actually interesting to see, because if people don't have jobs, they always have the opportunity to go to grad school and have different opportunities like that. But for the most part, I think most of my friends are moving back in with their parents. I know my goal is to be moved out by the new year. I don't know if that's actually going to happen or not, but I definitely don't want to spend too much time at home.
And Tia, do you see people feeling the economic pressure to get out there and get something right away? I mean, Bridget's lucky enough to be able to go off and, you know, kind of see the world, but not everybody has that option, Tia.
She's extremely lucky. What I'm seeing, you know, especially in this area, is that a lot of people have been lucky enough to hold on to jobs they had maybe in high school, you know, working at the mall. And so even though they have a college degree, they're still doing that.
You know, I'm trying to get a feeling here, Carl, for what people are really up against, because we've seen these numbers. Again, AP a couple of weeks ago said 53% of bachelor degree holders under the age of 25 last year were jobless or underemployed. That's important. They said that was the highest share in 11 years. On the other hand, their latest story says unemployment rate for college graduates 24 and under averaged 7.2% January through last month. That was down from 9.1% in that time last year, 8.1% the year before. So how much have things really improved, Carl?
Well, again, they've improved somewhat, but there's a countervailing, in other words, the overall economy has gotten better. There have been private sector jobs added, although we've lost a lot of public sector jobs on the national economy. But as you alluded to before, one of the problems that these young people face in the class of 2012, for example, is they are still competing with people in the previous several years who graduated from college and did not find a job in the college labor market. So they've probably acquired some experience, and now they're competing for those jobs. And that's quite a large number. About 1.5 million people graduate every year from college. So we need a very robust economic growth period to absorb all of those people into a college-level job. So that's why many people are still working, as was suggested, in the jobs they had when they were in college, perhaps in part-time positions on an hourly wage basis, which is needed for most of them because, as we said, you have to pay off your loans. Many people would like to eventually be financially independent, of course, of their parents and family. And it's a good thing for them to take those jobs and to get some experience. And only about 1 in 5 go on to graduate school, because not only is it difficult to get into graduate professional school in many places, mm-hmm. but it also is very expensive. So they will likely have to borrow more money if they want to go to graduate school.
Tia Johnson, there in Georgia, have you felt yourself, do your peers feel themselves up against that competition from folks who graduated last year, the year before, all those tough years? And for that matter, not even those new graduates, but maybe older people who lost their jobs during those years.
Absolutely. I think, and you know, you can't really blame the businesses for this because they're thinking about money, but you know, they're looking at this and they're saying, this is the amount of money we want to offer, and if we can get someone who's been doing this for 7 years, we won't have to train them, and they're willing to do it because they need this job, why not take them? You know, the newer grads were coming out and, you know, we're ready to work, but, you know, we maybe don't have some of the skills they have because we haven't had the experience to work with certain computer programs, you know.
But are those older, unemployed folks looking for work willing to work at what the companies would pay brand new graduates, Tia?
I feel that they are, because I think that it's been, you know, it's gotten to be a certain point where they just haven't had a job in so long. And, you know, I mean, people are just working for, like, you know, retail stores and stuff, things that they hadn't intended to do when they got their master's or PhD, that they're just happy to have an opportunity, and hopefully they'll be able to parlay that into, you know, another, but it's something that they can do now.
Let's go to Marcus in New Britain, Connecticut. Marcus, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Pretty well. What's your story, Marcus?
I graduate tomorrow. I finished my degree in December. My ceremony's tomorrow, and I have a job. I start June 11th. I got it with my degree. I'm extremely excited.
What field, Mark? Congratulations. You're walking tomorrow. What's the field?
Psychology. I'll be working with people with addiction issues and behavior disorders and personality disorders, like bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, borderline personality disorder.
Yeah. Was it tough to find the position? Did it come to you? How was the process?
I started while I was in college at an entry-level position before I had my degree. And I think that's what really helps is getting your foot in the door before you have the degree, because a lot of us are graduating with just a degree and maybe experience at Sears or Home Depot, which is completely unrelated to what we're trying to do. And I notice a lot of employers, they don't want someone who has zero experience in like a kind of a higher level position.
So do you feel lucky for the moment you're coming out into the job market, Marcus, or unlucky because the overall economy is still not so great?
I guess I feel blessed. I mean, I hope that they don't cut funding for social services, but, you know, I worked hard, and I just hope that others, you know, try to follow a similar path of working at an entry-level position before you graduate, so that way you don't have zero experience upon graduation and then, you know, expect to be able to find a job.
A little leg up right there. Marcus, good luck with that job and that career. Stephanie in Middletown, Connecticut. Stephanie, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, what's your story?
Hi, I just graduated on May 5th from the University of Connecticut. I have a degree in landscape architecture. And I am currently employed at a restaurant, and I'm waitressing, and that is like my lifeline to get me through until I can find a job in my field.
How's it feel out there? How's it look? Does it seem like you may be getting something, or do you worry you may be waitressing for a long time?
Well, I plan to relocate to a new city that has more opportunities, and there are opportunities, even though they are few and far between, but I do intend to serve wherever I go in order to pay rent and utilities and for food and such until I can get something more stable.
How are you living now, Stephanie? At your own apartment, at home, or what?
I just left my apartment at school, and in between apartments, I'm staying with my parents, luckily.
Yeah, Stephanie, good luck with that in landscape architecture, landscape design. I hope it works out really well for you. Evan, when people are at home, and you're still there for the moment, you're headed out, is that become a norm, or is that, you know, like mark of shame? How do people feel about that after graduation now?
Well, living with their parents?
Yeah.
I mean, I think people, like, I'm from a very like wealthy town, so everyone always has that option to live with their parents. So it's really not like a stress of that. It's just, like, I think it's like kind of a middle point where you can stay with them and then hopefully like look for other things while you're working. But I'm living away from college for 4 years and then going back home is completely different. You have your parents like nagging you all the time. You have chores to do around the house and stuff like that. So I think it's very different.
Our caller, Marcus, said he feels blessed. Now, he's got a job. So do you. What's the mood in your graduating class, Evan? Do you think people feel blessed to have missed the worst of the storm, or like, oh, boy, it's kind of a mess out there?
I think it's kind of mixed reviews because some people definitely have like their dream jobs. Like one of my friends, he's a sports radio broadcaster, and he has his dream job lined up, so he's extremely happy. While other people, they're doing like stuff that they're not really interested at all, kind of like me, and they're lucky, but they're really not happy, that happy to have that job.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about caps and gowns and a tough economy, looking at jobs, strategies, and how the world looks to the class of 2012. We've got three right out of college folks with us, or just about to be. Tia Johnson is with us, 29 years old, did a good stint in the military. Now she's coming out of Augusta State University, graduated there on Saturday, 29 years old, headed into the workforce, looking for that job. Nadja Edwards is with us, 23, graduated Sunday from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign in aerospace engineering. She's lined up with a job in Seattle at Boeing, right on her field, her target. Evan Merkelson is with us from Poughkeepsie, New York. Graduates Saturday from Marist College, going off to be a manager in a big retail store, big national chain. It's a job, not exactly what he wants. He's still kind of got that further goal in the back of his mind, or very much so. It's interesting. I mean, Tia, we've got older listeners writing in, and they say, here's John in Vermont, says, don't be in such a hurry to get a job. Is all you really want out of life a paycheck? 2 or 3 weeks off to do what you want to do? You think school was confining? You haven't seen anything till you get stuck in the workplace. And here's another one, Tia. Set a Spell says, a question is, you know, is the only intention of going to university now just landing a job or career? It says, in my day, we tended to vagabond in Europe to get a perspective of the world to decide what we truly wanted to do. How do you respond to those, Tia?
Well, I think it's really interesting, but I actually, as a member of the military, I actually did travel around the world, and so I have been to a lot of places. I've been to 27 countries.
I guess you did then.
And, you know, and so it's not just about a paycheck. It's kind of about, you know, settling down and finding something that makes you happy. You know, I happen to be lucky. I don't live with my parents and I don't have any student loans, but I would like to kind of move on with my life. You know, I had a great opportunity in the military. I loved it. I really wanted to finish school, and that's why I left. That was a really big goal of mine.
Yep.
And, you know, now I'm out looking.
So that figures, you're 29, and you've had time to rove in the military. Evan Merkelson, what about you? When these people from an earlier generation say, hey, you know, don't rush into that big box store, get out there and vagabond in Europe, Evan.
I think it was like a different time back then. Like right now, the recession, people are saying we're coming out of it, but we're still in the middle of it. Like it's still going on. It's still affecting. So I don't feel like I don't have the time to take off 2 months to walk around Europe and explore the world. I would love to, but I just don't think that's very practical at the moment.
Carl, your study has found that some of the members of this graduating class and recent ones, they have this feeling that they're less prepared for the world of work than the generation before them. Is that true, or why do they have the feeling?
Well, of course, they have no way of knowing, but I think it's a reflection of the fears and anxieties they have about the kind of economy they're entering into, and also what they're experiencing or their friends are experiencing as they struggle to get a job that really requires the college degree. So I think it's a reflection of that. It's also a concern that their generation won't do as well as the one before them. So we hear a lot of that from students, and I think it's understandable given the experiences that have happened in the last several years. And the other point, of course, is the cost of education is much higher than it was for those folks that are writing into you. For example, when I went to school, tuition was $800 a year.
Wow.
Now, that's not inflation-adjusted, but even in inflation-adjusted terms, it's nowhere near what it costs now. I went to a public university.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much more expensive. They take on a lot greater debt. They have those obligations that they have whenever they finish to start paying off their loans. And it's important to note, too, that most students, 80%, actually work at least part-time while they're in school. So they are, of course, that also delays the time, you know, to graduation for most of them.
Right.
So this generation is working very hard. They're working while they're in school. They're earning money, and they're taking classes. Unlike, let's say, 30, 40 years ago, where much fewer people were working while they were in school, and they were paying a lot less to go to college.
Well, Lane in Boston, you're on the air, Lane.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm okay. What about you, Lane?
So I graduated, actually. I have a funny story. I graduated in 2006 with a nursing degree,
okay.
And I am graduating June 1st with my master's in nursing for a nurse practitioner.
So are you all set?
I have a job in nursing, and I luckily got a job. But when I graduated and it was just the cusp, if I had a nickel for every time someone told me, oh, you'll do great, you have a nursing degree, I actually had to go around HR because I didn't get any callbacks for any interviews in Boston hospitals. The only reason I got a job was because I went around HR and got a job, talking to a manager, this person knows this person. And that's the only reason.
So what do you take from that? People say nursing, health is a great field to be into, but is that not your observation, Lane?
I think it's that new grads, especially in healthcare, to take the time to take a new nurse, to understand the job, it's a lot of money. And I don't think people really want to do that. And then even going further, getting my master's degree, to be a nurse practitioner when you're older, you take a big pay cut from your nursing job when you finally have experience.
Right.
I mean, it's a commitment to go into it, I think.
So it's not exactly a golden ticket there, but it's something you've got in hand after getting that master's. Lane, I appreciate that call. Let me get one more, if I may. Arjun, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What's your story?
So I graduated from Tufts University a year ago from today. I studied international relations, and I'm actually, for the past 10 months, been doing an AmeriCorps community service position in Dorchester. So basically working with community health centers in the area. And what I'm doing after that is actually moving to Washington, D.C. to start a job with Deloitte Consulting.
Okay.
I'm basically working with the federal government.
Okay.
And for me, at least, what I found when I was talking to Deloitte, which is this huge company, talking about my experiences and how they apply to the work that they do, it wasn't really the stuff that I did while I was in class, but actually the extracurricular activities that I did, that I led students, that I worked on projects, that I knew how to work in a team.
And that made the difference for you when it came time to go out and get a job. Let me ask you, if I may, Arjun, about your comrades in AmeriCorps in general. How's that working out for them? As they now move on to look into the job market beyond AmeriCorps, what kind of luck do you see them having?
I'd say that I feel incredibly lucky to have a job that I do. But I know a lot of them are struggling because the AmeriCorps stipend is pretty small. And, you know, we work a lot of hours, so just looking for a job requires a lot of time and investment. But I think some of them are doing well. You know, some of them have figured out their options, but I think the ones that have figured them out knew what they wanted to do as a next step. The ones who are struggling don't really have a path yet, and they're still trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
At least from what I've seen.
Arjun, we're glad you found that job, and I appreciate your calling in to tell us about it. I mean, Evan, what about that? You know, it seems like the Arjun names it. It's the degree, the education is not enough these days. People are really looking for, well, what experience will show us that you've got the capacity to dig in, put the harness on, work, lead, be a team player, all the rest. You know, are people in your 4 years in college, are people always thinking about that? How do I round out my resume so I can show I've got the stuff beyond the classes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, completely. I know people do internships during the summer, winter vacations. It's really today. It's all about who you know, your work experience, and how they can help you get a job after college.
Let's go to Jerry in Berea, Kentucky. Jerry, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. One point I'd like to make, something that for high schoolers that are graduating,
yes, sir.
Not all high schoolers are bound for college, and something that our country is lacking is skilled labor. And in the trades and everything like that. So vocational training costs a lot less than what a college degree costs. And you, for the most part, you usually get a pretty good paying job, and there is a demand for it.
And the country absolutely needs it. I think some people got scared off, Jerry, you know, in the big downturn after 08 when construction just fell to pieces. And a lot of those high school graduate jobs just went away when housing construction in particular dried up.
Well, in the construction industry, yes, but and it is picking up throughout the country in some places. But for we need welders, we need electricians, we need people, automotive mechanics, refrigeration, HVAC. There's just a number of skilled labor that we really have a demand for in this country. I mean, even to the point I saw an article where the new bridge is being built across from Oakland to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Was awarded to a Chinese firm because we don't have enough welders to be able to get it done. I mean,
yeah, that turns your head, doesn't it? Wow. Jerry, I'm very glad you raised that point. I'm very glad. Carl, what about it here? Maybe college isn't for everybody, and there are things that need doing that a trade school can speak to. On the other hand, you know, high school graduates without a college degree, I'm reading here, have twice the unemployment rate of Americans with bachelor's degrees. So how do you sort that out, Carl?
Well, it is true that those who have a advanced skills training can do very well, and in fact, it's important to remember that we still have about two-thirds of Americans do not have a college degree. But for young people entering into the labor market, I think it's the best advice is really you need some post-secondary education, whether it's skills training or a two-year or four-year degree. Many people, of course, do not want to go into vocational training. They're more interested in getting on a path that gets them into the college labor market. But the gentleman's absolutely correct. There are great opportunities there. I think it's important to point out that many parents, when they raise their children, and many school leaders, do not put a great deal of emphasis on that opportunity. And there is, you might say, some cultural bias in some quarters against people who work with their hands. certainly not one that I share, but it's one that is prevailing in our society, and that's part of the reason why you have even the children of people who have been skilled tradespeople, they do not tell their children to go into the same trade they're in. So they say you should get a college degree. So again, I think it's we have had a bit of a turning away from that emphasis on skilled training, but there are definitely opportunities there for people who have that interest.
I think our caller gets it just right. And, you know, the country needs those skills, and you can find good careers there as well, no question about it, if you get that training. Nadja, give me a little mood check here. You've got the job, and it's right in your field. Look beyond that. For your generation, what do you think, Nadja, about your economic prospects? Are you feeling positive? You're in pretty good shape, but what do you think overall?
Overall, I think we could be heading in a better direction, but it's still going to take a little work as far as my generation goes. I know a lot of people kind of shy away from technical fields, but I kind of encourage it just because I know where the United States as a whole is lacking there. So I encourage people to go technical, and I feel like the future could be looking bright there.
Well, when we see the plane go over in the sky, we'll think of you, Nadja. Nadja Edwards, graduating from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, headed off to aerospace engineering. Nadja, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Tia Johnson, Augusta State, we wish you the very best of luck, Tia. You sound great, and I hope you find something just like you want soon.
Thank you.
And Evan Merkelson at Marist College, graduating on Saturday. Best of luck to you, Evan.
All right, thank you for having me.
Carl Van Horn at Rutgers, thanks so much for joining us today, Carl.
Thanks, and good to be with all of you.
It's great to have the voices of 2012 right here. In a moment, commencement 2012 at Niagara University. This is On Point. Last Saturday, it was all purple caps and gowns at Niagara University, north of Buffalo, on its beautiful campus, a stone's throw from Niagara Falls. And the speaker was me. I was honored. My producers said, share. So here's a bit of that commencement address.
So my beautiful 2012ers, how to live with your newly minted degrees and your hopes and dreams and soon responsibilities. And my first piece of advice when you step out of these caps and gowns today is just dive in. Do not be daunted. Don't hesitate. Get going, whatever that means. Some of you, lucky, smart, connected, determined, will go straight to jobs. Work hard. Do them well. It takes excellence now to hold your own, and that's good. Embrace it. Some of you will go for more school, and good for you. Don't hide out there. See the world's needs as you study. Sharpen your insight and put it to work for all of us. Some of you don't know, sitting here today, what it's going to be. And I'm telling you, just get out there and dig in. Grab on, get started, whatever it is, however uncertain your path right now, you will learn in the doing about the world and about yourself. Right out of college, you heard it. I was a surveyor and a dynamiter in Alaska. That's where the jobs were. I was a teacher in Hong Kong, a long way from home. A cub reporter for the South China Morning Post, a kung fu movie producer. You can imagine my parents wondered what was going on. I was a TV host and a newspaper correspondent, an editor, a dot-com entrepreneur and author, and pretty soon, there it was, a career that I could never have articulated up front, but I threw myself into all of it, full force, every part, and it found a shape and direction that fit me. Now, I talk with Americans, and a lot of others too, on the radio for a living, and who knew at the beginning that that would be the thing, the calling, the next step, out of all those wonderful strands of work and passion? What matters, and you know this, you've already proven it, what matters is to engage and apply yourself, to bring all your strengths and your discipline and your personal genius, whatever that is, to bear. Grab on, work hard, and listen for your deepest satisfactions, for the voice that says, this is my way. Here's where I can make a difference. Here's where I can let my unique talents roll and grow. You will know it when you find it, and others will too. You'll see it in their response to your work. You'll see that this is the thing you were meant to do. And when you find that path, that way, stay on it. Stick with it.
That from Commencement Day 2012 at Niagara University last Saturday. For the full audio and a transcript, go to our website, onpointradio.org. My very best wishes to all those great young graduates. Thanks for joining us today. Good luck to the class of 2012 right across this country. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.